Welcome to Open Door Baptist Church. Will you all please stand as we start worship service this morning? Other than the Lord, we have our hope misplaced. Amen. Will you bow your head as we open with a word of prayer? Dear Lord God, I thank you that we can have our hope in you. And we have our hope in you alone, God. You are our rescue. You are our strength. And we stand in you this morning, God. And we praise and we worship you. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us this morning as we sing praises to you, God. God, open our hearts. Open our minds. Let us hear from you this morning, God, and help us to worship you this morning here in spirit and in truth. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Y'all may be seated for a minute.
Hey, thanks, everybody.
Hey, Kenny. Okay, Kenny. Kenny. I'm going to preach your mic.
I have to use the mic.
That's how I hear you online.
Okay, last week, Jay Fluharty came in, Christian Motorcyclist Association, you know, presented a sermon, talked about a run that they were going to be put on. Well, with the CMA, they have one fundraiser a year, and during his, I don't know, excitement or there was a little bit of miscommunication, he never laid out how they actually raise money for their for this event, for the fundraising for the Christian Motorcyclist Association. I don't want this to get confused with the run that this church is going to be putting on, which will be May 15th. So on May 1st, a group of us from our church is going to go and ride with the Soul Miners Christian Motorcyclists Association for their one fundraising event of the year. The way they raise funds is they seek sponsors to sponsor the riders, not so much sponsoring the event. So what we're asking is me, Larry, I think Travis, Matt, Kevin, Ralph, you know, excuse me if I, maybe Haas, if I forget anybody, to sponsor our group. So the way to do that, I believe it probably just if you could, you know, pray about it, maybe drop an envelope in a collection plate, either put CMA or motorcycle event. And we'll do it this week, we'll do it next week. What we take up from our church, we'll take down as our group and present it to that organization. So, but again, this, a lot's coming at you with motorcycle things going on, but this is separate from our event. Our event on the 15th, we are gonna register riders, register passengers, so, you know, we're not asking for a donation from the church. You know, we're gonna use donations from the riders to support that and raise money for our mission teams. So if you have any questions, you know, please see me afterwards. See Larry. You know, we've been working with these guys. We went and rode yesterday to a bike blessing, spent a little bit of time with them. So again, if there's any questions, concerns, you know, please see me afterwards. If you guys seen the t-shirts, we are pre-selling t-shirts, which do support our missions group. Thank you.
Thank you. And that, what you talk about, if you want to sponsor us as riders, he showed you the video of what their ministry does and while they sponsor, which is very good, by the way. So anyways, I just want to give you all an update on John Fisher. John Fisher is home. Listen, y'all should gasp. the fact that that boy got out of the hospital, I say that boy, that man got out of the hospital, is only by an act of God, all right? And so what I know and what I seen, what he endured, it's only by the hand of God that he was released from that hospital. But listen to me, he is not out of the woods yet. He has extensive chemotherapy and radiation that he's got to go through, and it's going to be a lot. So continue to pray for him. Pray for him physically, pray for him spiritually, emotionally, the whole nine yards, psychologically. I mean, he's going to need every prayer that he can get. So with that being said, I'm just going to say a real quick prayer for him, and then we'll move on. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for your answered prayer for John. And Lord, we know that you know what he still is in need of. Lord, you know him physically. You know him personally, emotionally, spiritually. You know him all the way. You created him. So Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you continue to carry him through. Lord, we know that the first round of chemo and radiation has already shrunk that tumor to some degree. So, Lord, we pray that that would continue. You could continue to restore him, and he would bring glory and honor unto your holy name. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Larry. You know, that kind of leads us into our first worship song today. You know, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. So if you're here this morning and you just wonder, where has God been in my life today? What should I be doing? You know, sometimes when you don't know what to do, you just stop and you think about some of these praise songs that we sing. We're singing the word of God. It's in these praise songs. And one of the things is God is a way maker. Amen. So y'all please stand with me as we begin to praise God this morning. Thank you. I worship you. I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you.
You are here moving in our midst. I worship you. Darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Darkness, my God, that is.
is the way maker. Amen.
Great I am, who is worthy.
So good to us, amen. I'll wait.
are merciful. You are kind. You are the great I am. Lord, we come and we lift this praise up to you. We lift to you, Father, from our hearts, from a heart full of thankfulness, a heart full of gratitude, a heart full of worship, that you would be pleased, Lord, that we sing these praises unto you of your goodness and your greatness. You are a magnificent and holy God. So, Lord, we just pray that it was glorifying to you. And, Lord, that the rest of this service will be as well. And, Lord, that the preaching of your word will be infused by your Holy Spirit. It will move not only in me, but in your people. So, Lord, that we would not just be hearers, but we would be doers. Lord, we just pray and ask, Lord, that you just come among us, move among us. And, Lord, we just pray, as always, to forgive us of our sins. Lord, that there will be nothing between us. And Lord, as always, as I stand here, if I'm going to say something, I pray that you would intervene. Silence me if it's going to say something that's not true or not right. But Lord, I give myself to you. Do with me as you will. If you need to rise someone up, you would do that. Lord, we just come as your church and sing of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Is Travis around here?
No.
He's not. Hey, Travis.
No.
Where you at, Trav?
Not here.
Hey, Matt wanted me to give you something, Travis.
Here.
Come here.
There you go.
Matt, come here, son. That's what you call submission right there. That's what submission looks like when you agree to that in front of the church, right? Matt wanted you to have an extra gas can for your bike, so I don't know what that's all totally about. Maybe anybody want to ask Tom Jennings about it, they can ask Tom about it. But
yeah, you can ask Tom about it.
Ask Tom about it. It's an extra gas can you keep in your Harley, all right? All right. All right. Travis, I'm not even going to tell them, Travis. They're figuring it out all on their own, Trav. Amen. You got your Bible. Say, I got my Bible. Amen. You need to open them up to Matthew chapter 16. Hey, you got to write this stuff down, right? We're going to use a little bit. You are awesome, brother. Thank you. We're going to use a little bit of the Bible today, Randy, just to touch. Hey, there's somebody here that we've been praying for a long, long time that has finally got to come to church. Where's Diana Campa? Right there she is. Hi, Diana. Kidney transplant over a year ago. Huh? June was a year. Okay, well, you're getting close. And then we have Dawn over here. Man, you've aged. Tony, not a day. Not even a second. Beautiful as ever. I don't know what you're using, but you gave it to him, all right? All right, let's get serious. Matthew chapter 16, Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, John chapter 28. And, oh, there we go. And all of those, all right? So let's get in and hang on and let's move. So 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord. But today I thought it would be a good idea to hear, as some of you older people in here, like Randy, some of you older people will understand this. We want to hear, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. And all these younger ones are like, what's that mean, right? So anyways, over the past several weeks, we looked at what Jesus had to say as he hung on the cross, dying at Calvary. And then we explained or examined those statements throughout the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So what did these disciples have to say? after the account of Easter week. What happens afterwards? What is being said afterwards? After they record all that Jesus had to say from the cross and after the resurrection had taken place, what else did they have to say following Jesus' death and resurrection? What is the rest of the story and what does it mean for us? Well, just so you know, this is actually an extension of Jay's sermon last week, which I didn't know, but this is the way it worked. Well, let's turn to Matthew first. Let's turn to Matthew, and as we turn there, let's remember this is post-resurrection, Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20. At the beginning of Matthew, we are told about a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone from the tomb where Jesus was buried. It wasn't so Jesus could get out, it was so that we could look in. And we know that Jesus was not there. We know that Jesus appeared to the women and told the women, go and tell the other disciples, to go to Galilee, and Jesus would meet them there. And we know that there was a controversy, right? Just a little bit, not a whole bunch, but no, there was a lot of controversy over what happened to Jesus' body. And the chief priests and the elders told the guards to lie and bribe these people with money so that the guards would say, so that the guards would say that the disciples came at night and stole Jesus' body, and all that happened on the day of Jesus' resurrection. Now, Matthew recorded that for us, but what happened next? What happened next? Well, according to Matthew, beginning in the verse 16 of chapter 28, let's pick up there. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed to them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Now go to Mark chapter 16. Mark 16 and verse 14, Mark says this, later he appeared to 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. That verse tells you baptism does not save. Amen. All right. Verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. That is such a powerful statement right there. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Now turn to Luke chapter 24, verse 46. Chapter 24, verse 46 through 53. Because here Luke records on Jesus' ascent to heaven sometime after the resurrection Sunday, and he's speaking to his disciples, and this is what Jesus says to them. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. These are things that you've seen with your own eyes. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you are endued with power from on high. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And finally to the book of John. And in true John style, John gives us a little bit more detail. He relates it to a powerful story about Jesus meeting with Peter. And don't forget who Peter was. Peter was the disciple who, out of fear for his own life, denied even knowing Jesus. And you say, well, I would never do that. Don't you ever say that until you're put in that position. And we don't know where he was during Peter. We don't know where he was during the crucifixion. It's presumed he was in hiding because there is no account of him being there at the crucifixion like John was. However, in John 21, begins with Jesus showing himself to the disciples after the resurrection, after he had risen from the dead. As he stood on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias, where while Peter and some of the other disciples were out fishing. You all know this story. They were fishing, but not catching anything, right? Kind of like when I go fishing in Michigan with John, I usually catch fish, John doesn't. I'm just saying. Anyways, they were fishing, and Jesus yelled out to them. They weren't catching anything, so Jesus yelled out to them, said, throw your nets on the other side of the boat. And when they did, the nets were so full that they couldn't even pull it into the boat. And then the disciples drug the net with fish onto the shore, and Jesus cooked them breakfast. Could you imagine that? Right? And after they had eaten, Jesus said this to Simon Peter. This is what he said to him, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon, Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Now look at verse 24. This is the disciple, meaning John, this is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Verse 25, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Right? So if they had written down every single miracle Jesus did, it would be too much for the books to consume, to hold. And that, my friends, is the rest of the story. Let's go home. Praise God, not one amen. That means go on, right? But that's the rest of the story. Over the past several weeks, we have explored the pardon as Jesus said, Father, forgive them in Luke. And then we've seen the promise as he said to the thief hanging next to him, today you will be with me in paradise, Luke 23. And then the provision we've seen as Jesus said to his mother and best friend, woman, behold your son, and to John, here is your mother in the book of John. And we witnessed the pain that the spiritual darkness of that sin causes. When Jesus cried out, when he cried out to the Father, when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me in the book of Matthew? And we know that prophecy was fulfilled. Thank you, Leslie. I left this one out. She called me and said, you left this out. And we know that prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus said, I thirst. And they offered him some sour wine in the book of John. And then on Resurrection Sunday, we looked at the payment paid in full. Jesus cried out, it is finished, and said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And this morning, the rest of the story is this. The rest of the story is the proclamation. The proclamation. Now, proclamation means this. It means a public or official announcement, especially an announcement dealing with a matter of great importance. And what Jesus had to say before he ascended back to heaven was pretty important. Amen? He didn't sit in and hang around here for his benefit. He hung around here for our benefit. And what Jesus had to say was important. And did you see all the theme there? Did you see the theme in all of the four Gospels where four disciples recorded the same basic instruction? Did you catch that when I read all that to you? Go make disciples. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Preach repentance and remission of sins. You are my witnesses. Feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs. Go and tell, go and tell, go and tell, go and tell. That's the proclamation. Listen, this doesn't just show up in the New Testament. You got to get this. Because over in Psalm chapter 67, verse 2, notice what it says. It says this, that you're, referring to Jesus, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. So I just wanted you to see how awesome God's word comes together from the Old Testament to the New Testament. They fit together like your fingers intertwine with one another. They just fold right in together. Matthew said, go and make disciples so that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Mark said this, he said, go into the world and preach the gospel that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Luke says, preach repentance and remissions of sins. You are my witnesses. That your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. John said, feed my sheep, take care of my lambs, so that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. And Psalm, the book of Psalm echoes those same very words hundreds of years before. Go tell, go tell, go tell, go tell. Why? So that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. So think about it. Think about it for a second. Isn't it awesome how God's word fits together perfectly? Although the Old Testament and the New Testament were written hundreds of years apart, the old fits perfectly with the new. And let me just say, these verses aren't new to us. Anybody ever hear all these verses before? These verses aren't new to us. And they don't give us any new revelation from God. This isn't anything that we haven't heard before. The fact of the matter is, the rest of the story is, we are told over and over and over and over in Scripture to go tell, go tell, go tell, go make Jesus known. So I got a question. Why do you think that God felt He needed to tell us this over and over and over and over? Why do you think He was so emphatic about that? I thought about that, and I came up with this. I would have to guess that it's probably because we're not doing it, or the fact that He knew that we would become slack in doing it. He knew. Do you understand that we church, we Christians, have the greatest, most life-changing news in the whole world? Some people thought that the life-changing news is they got a vaccine for COVID-19. Listen to me, that is not the life-saving news. We have the most important life-saving news that there is in the whole entire world. But listen, it's not their responsibility, it's our responsibility, and we are not making it known, even to those we say that we love and care about. Let's be honest, am I right? And listen, when I read these verses, they don't sound like a simple suggestion from God, like Jay said last week. They're not a simple suggestion from God. They are written as a command. They're written as a proclamation, a command to tell something of great importance. Do you understand the good news that you have? Jesus doesn't say, hey, why don't you go? Hey, you know, why don't you guys go tell somebody? Why don't you guys just go out and just, if the opportunity comes and it smacks you right upside the head, well, maybe you could share that with them. He says, go and tell. It's a command. Now, a few of us may be doing this, and I'm referring to Christians as a whole, not just us here, but I'm referring to Christians as a whole. A few of us may wake up each morning and pray and asking God to lead us or lead them to someone with whom they can share the gospel. What I'm saying is some of us wake up and we pray, or some people wake up and pray, and they're asking God to put somebody in their pathway intentionally so they can witness to them. Listen, the principle here in this command is not that God sends us someone. I want you to get this. That's not the principle. That's really not the correct way to say God sends somebody to me. Because send somebody. He doesn't say wait and I'll send. The principle says to go find someone. You go find someone. You find someone to share the gospel with, because I guarantee you the majority of people aren't going to come looking for you. But listen to me, Jesus didn't say wait until they ask. He didn't say that. He says wait, just wait till somebody is inquisitive. Wait, you know, just wait until somebody is seeking. He doesn't say that. Jesus didn't say wait until they ask. He said you go and tell. Go and make disciples. It's a proactive phrase. It's like when you are looking for a job. Not too many employers are going to come knocking at your door looking for you. However, that day is changing very quickly, right? I mean, good Lord, the amount of help wanted signs that I see is off the hook. I have people calling me on the phone. Seriously, I have employers calling me on the phone saying, do you know anybody that needs a job? Anybody that's willing to work? Full-time or part-time, they're caught not once, not twice, but three times. I've had phone calls from people, I need somebody, do you have anybody to work? Listen, normally when you're looking for a job, not too many employers are going to come knocking on your door looking for you. You have to get out and go find a job, right? I can remember when I was in high school, just graduating from high school or almost ready to graduate. Let me tell you what my mom did. My mom took me up to the upper end of Weirton by number 13 gate up there way by the mill. She dropped me off and said, I'll pick you up on Freedom Way. That's exactly what she did. You know where I got a job? I went every business down through town. I got a job at E&L Supply, Electrical Supply, on Freedom Way. Why didn't she start the other way, right? Listen, this is what I'm saying here. You got to get out and you got to go find the job, right? You go and you seek out the employment. Although if you may be going out to seek the lost, I sincerely believe that the majority of us are not. And I believe that's because most of us are simply Christians. We're just simply Christians going about our own business. I'm not saying we're not saved. I'm not saying that. But we're just simply Christians going around about our own business. We are too busy with our own business. Let me say this the other way. We are too busy with our own business to be about the Lord's business. Now, let's be fair. There are a few who are Great Commission Christians going about God's business, but I would say truthfully that those who are intentional witnesses are in the minority. But the truth is, we are not called to be simple Christians or to simply be Christians. We're not called to simply be Christians going about our own business. The call is far more than that. It's much, much more greater than that. The call is for us to be Great Commission Christians. We are called to be kingdom builders. We're a part of God's plan. Why would God choose to use us? I don't know, but He has chosen to use you and me to help build His kingdom. We are kingdom builders. We are to be on mission to produce and provide the gospel to those who don't know Jesus Christ. And I want you to make sure you understand how significant this job is. I want you to get this. God has invited us, you and me, to participate in the greatest, largest, most significant cause in all of history. Amen. In serving Him in His kingdom, telling His story. You say, like what? Like telling the Christmas story. Right? That's the gospel. That's part of the gospel. Tell me, Christmas morning, how a baby was born in Bethlehem to save the world from its sins. And then the Easter story, how that same baby grew up to be a man and died for the sins of the world, how he came to die, and also how he rose from the dead. That's the gospel. That's the story. That's the events that we're supposed to be testifying. And listen, one day, the Great Commission will literally become the Great Completion. You get that? And that's when our mission will be completed. God one day is going to say, enough. And our mission will be clean when all of God's chosen family are gathered together for all of eternity. Do you understand that? There's a family that's going to be gathered for all of eternity. So the truth is this. When I die, or the Lord return, the Lord, I almost said Lord. Who was that? Medea. Yeah, I don't watch that. But listen, when I die or when the Lord returns, that's when my mission will be complete. And I got to share something with you all. And I don't mean this in any underlying thing, but I'm going to be honest with you. My time on this earth is getting shorter every day. So I need to be busy about telling people while I still can. We're never promised tomorrow. Look at the people we've been praying for lately. Listen, I need to be telling people why I still can, because we, friends, you and I are the avenue that God uses to increase His kingdom, uses to increase His family and our kingdom family. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's exciting to me. That's exciting to me that I get to be with you for all of eternity. Now, you may not be so excited about that towards me, but I'm really excited about that towards you. I get to be with you forever. But you know what? I want more of us to be together forever. You see me? So listen, when Jesus told that first small group of disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, to go and make disciples of all of the nations, I'm sure that they had no idea of the impact that they would have on all of mankind. Do you get that? What he was telling them, what he was commanding, was going to have an impact on all of mankind. Because the command that Jesus gave to those first 12 disciples have literally impacted millions of people, millions of Christians from then until this very present day. But listen, carefully. The command didn't stop with the original 12. That was not the end of the story. The rest of the story is that it was passed from disciple to disciple and leads to us. It leads to you and me. And now we have the same command. We can't ignore that. We can't lay that down. We can't act like that command doesn't exist for us. It does. We have the same command. And think about how overwhelming this command must have been to the first 12. I want you to think about that. They were told to go tell all nations. Now, do you understand what that would have meant for them? Because they didn't have the benefit of jetliners. They didn't have satellites, television, or radios. They didn't have Chevy or Ford. They did not exist. And some say that Dodge still doesn't exist. But anyways, Chevy and Ford did not exist. Nor were there any such thing as UPS or Federal Express, Amazon. Instead, to get the word out, they literally had to walk or ride on the back of a horse, a camel, a mule, a donkey, or set sail for months at a time on some kind of a ship. There was no computer, no laptop, no iPad, no smartphones. There was no Facebook, Twitter, email, or text messaging. They didn't even have the United States Postal Service. Or the Pony Express. I know Randy can't remember a time without the Pony Express, but there was no Pony Express either. Do you know what they had? They had their mouth, they had their lips, they had their voices. So can you imagine how overwhelming this command would have been for them? The physical barriers that they would have had to overcome to go to all nations? And yet, obviously, they did it without any excuses. They didn't make up excuses. They went and did exactly as they were commanded, just as Jesus commanded them. We should be praising God, hallelujah, amen in that. Otherwise, you and I here today would not have come to know Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. So obviously they did as they were commanded. They got the word out. But for us, it's never been easier to get the word out. The barriers that exist now are no longer transportation or the terrain or the cost or the distance. The only barrier that we have to overcome is this. We is the way we think. The barriers that exist for us are only those that we ourselves put up. Barriers like fear. I'm afraid to say anything. What if someone makes fun of me? I don't want to be that person at work that Jesus, you know. I don't want to be them. I don't want to say anything. I don't want people to make fun of me. Barriers like, I'm not allowed to talk about Jesus at work. I might get fired. Fear. Barriers like, I'm just going to live out my life. I'm just going to be my simple old Christian, right? I just simply want to be a Christian. I'm going to live out my life. That's enough. People know about Jesus just by the way I live my life. Is that what Jesus said? Is that what he said?
No.
Just go live your life. Barriers like, I don't know enough. Again, fear. I don't know enough. I don't know what to say. Are you saved? Has Jesus made a difference in your life? You know what to say. That's the truth. It's the truth of what Christ did for me. If you're saved, then you have something to say, right? You see, the barriers are all up here. They're all up here in our attitude toward God and His Word. It is. Listen, in order for us to change from being a simple, just a simple Christian to a Great Commission Christian is this. We need to adjust our thinking. We need to change our attitude. We need to shift from thinking of ourselves to be thinking like Christ would think. And the way that we do that is to be a Great Commission Christian. Therefore, we need to do this. Number one, we need to shift from self-centered thinking. We need to get off of ourselves. We need to shift from self-centered thinking to other-centered thinking. What does Scripture say? Look at others more highly than yourselves, right? Now, undoubtedly, changing the way you think is not an easy task. Some people have been trying to change my thinking for years. It's a hard task. And it's the same for you, too. When God looks at us and He's trying to change our thinking, the way you think, it's not an easy task. But it is certainly the first step to becoming a Great Commission Christian. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says this, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of what? Mind. Let each esteem others better than himself or higher than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, not just being a simple Christian. Look for not out for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. So first we need to make this a mental shift. This is it. This is a mental shift. Now the word shift means to change. Means to change or exchange. So we need to change our old way of thinking and exchange it for a new way of thinking. Why? Because the old way is not getting it. Paul tells us over in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. But transforming our mind is no easy task, especially in the culture that we live in. Listen, they're trying to transform our minds. Listen, it's no easy task. Let's face it, even the songs of this generation proclaim, it's all about me, it's all about I, it's all about number one. Have it your way. However, transforming our minds can only truly be done with the help of the Holy Spirit. Remember back when I read in the gospel, he says, I'm going to send one. Transforming our minds can only be done with the help of the Holy Spirit. Listen, the culture or the government is not going to change your mind for the gospel. So the only way that we are going to be able to make this shift is by a total moment-by-moment dependence on God. We all must individually. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. We must each individually be seeking God's mind and presence in our own lives. If we're not doing that, we're never going to care about others. And listen, this has to be something that you want. I understand it's a command, but you understand this is something that you want. You want it because God said it so. You have to want it. You have to desire to be the channel that God uses to share His love. You have something that can cure something far greater than cancer. You have something that can cure something far greater than a heart disease. You have something that can cure something far greater than COVID. You have the love of God in you, and it needs to be manifested towards others. So how do we do this? Well, you begin by asking the Holy Spirit to help you. Amen. You begin by asking the Holy Spirit to help you to think about the spiritual needs of unbelievers whenever you talk to them. Other-centered thinking. Develop the habit of praying, silent internal prayers. Number two, praying for those you encounter. Say something like, Father, help me to understand what is keeping this person from knowing you. Lord, I don't know their situation, but give me an avenue. Give me an in. Father, give me an opening that is not awkward, that I might be able to connect with this person. Give me an in, Lord. Help me, Lord. I want to do. I want to tell. I want to say. I want to witness. Lord, give me something to get in. Maybe it's a motorcycle. Remember the youth shirts that says we used to have back when I was youth pastor? Y'all remember? Was anybody here? It said, we're oozing with it. Remember those shirts that said, we're oozing? Do you remember that, Rose? We had those green shirts that said, we're oozing. Will you remember them? You remember them? All of our teens would wear those. Anytime we went out of this church, we wore them. Any event we did, Kennywood, whatever. And you know what? People would walk up to them and say, what are you oozing with? That shirt was designed to intentionally to attract people to say, what are you oozing with? And of course, back here, we discipled them to say, I'm oozing with Jesus Christ. You see this? We got to get an in. And when we figure it out, we need to do whatever we need to do to bring them a step closer to knowing Jesus Christ. Listen, I can't save anybody, neither can you. But by the words that God puts in you and inspires those words of the gospel, He will do the saving. They're not going to reject you. They may reject Him. And we need to figure it out. And we can only do this by adopting the mindset of Paul, who in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 33, said this, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So here we see that Paul said, I'm going to do whatever it takes. Listen, are you willing to say that? Paul said, I'm going to do whatever it takes, not for myself, but that they, others, may be saved. But unfortunately, I feel like sometimes we become immune to the lost or the state of the lostness that's in the world. I'm talking about the church as a whole and us individually as well, because us individually make up the church as a whole. When it comes to the lostness in the world, it just doesn't seem to affect us. We just don't seem to care as we should. What am I saying? I'm saying something hard and hurtful. It just doesn't matter to us. It's just not something that none of us think about anymore. I'm saved. I'm good. It's our mindset. We're not broken for the lost. Listen to me. We're not broken. And if we're not broken for the lost, who God has given the command to, then who will be? If it's not you, then who? We're not concerned for the lost. We don't have compassion for the lost as great as we should. I'm not saying that we want anybody to go to hell or we wish anybody to go to hell. But listen, our compassion isn't where it should be. Why? Why is that, Pastor? Why do you think that is? Well, most likely the truth is I'm only worried about my own salvation into hell with everyone else. Oh, look, I understand. Listen, I know. I understand we may not actually say that. But what are we saying when we withhold Jesus from them? What are we saying when we withhold Jesus from them? And that, my friends, is scary, because if you don't care about their soul, then who will? We're the ones commanded. The world doesn't care, and trust me, the government doesn't care. And listen to me, it was the same thing in Paul's day as well. This is nothing new. It's the same way in Paul's day. That's why Paul said, I'm going to do whatever it takes for their benefit, not my own, for their profit and not my own. Why? It was intentional. Why? Because the cost is great. He had to become intentional about it. The cost is eternal separation from God. The cost is hell. Not telling people about Jesus Christ and the saving grace that he has is hell. The cost of not saying it is hell. And listen to me, my friends. That's to cause your own soul and my own soul to quake, to tremble for our friends, our neighbors, our family members, our co-workers, our ones. We should tremble, literally, inside. The cost to them for our disobedience is hell. The cost to them for our disobedience is hell. End of story. The rest of the story for them is hell forever. And that should make the hair on the back of our neck stand straight up. Because understand this, it's not that they are simply going to miss out and they will catch the next flight or listen to me, there is no other flight. They will perish forever in hell. It's urgent that we need to shift our thinking, because hell is real. And like I said, if we don't care, then who will? If we don't, then who will? And quite honestly, if we don't care enough about our family members and co-workers, our best friends, to share the gospel, then how are we going to care about the rest of the world, the nations? I'm just talking local, but what about the nations? And listen, when I say the world, literally, that is our goal, to win the world to Jesus Christ, which leads me to point number two, the Great Commission Christian. We need to do this, shift our thinking from local to global. Listen to me, Open Door. God is a global God. He didn't come to die just for Americans. Actually, we were an add-on. We need to shift from local to global. Listen to me, God does care. He has always cared about the entire world. John 3:16, for God so loved the... Listen, Acts 17, 26-27 says that he, meaning God, he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. There is no race. Let's get it straight. There is no race. One blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Why do I live here? God ordained me to live here. Why does a person live in Russia? God ordained him to live in Russia. Look what it says, in the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Now, I want you to notice that the word grope there in verse 27. It's an interesting word. If any of you have ever been inside of a dark room at night with no windows and someone turns out the lights or the electricity unexpectedly goes out, you can understand the word grope. Did that ever happen to anybody? Being in a room, lights go out, it's total darkness in that room. What do you do? What happens to you? What do you start doing? Yeah, you panic, right? But you're going, you're reaching out, right? Look to me now. That's groping, blindly moving forward, hoping to get to the door without getting knocked out. Anybody remember that pole downstairs? Anybody remember the pole downstairs? Oh, Lord have mercy, I remember it really well. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, and you ain't going to understand. If you know what I'm talking about, you've ran into that pole. Because when it's dark downstairs, it's dark downstairs. We didn't have a window in the door back then, remember? You would walk across there groping, blindly moving forward through life, reaching for anything living in darkness. All across this world, there are people living in darkness all across this world, and they're groping, seeking God, hoping that they will get to the other side, but they're groping blindly. Sad but true. So when I was downstairs many times before they took that pole out, we know why we took the pole out, and it cost me $1,200 to get that pole out. Hands out in front of me, trying to get to the door without running into that pole. Do you know what needed to be happen for me to be safe? Anybody know what needed to be happen for me to be safe? What needed to happen? Someone needed to turn the light on. Someone needed to turn the light on, right? Well, in spiritual darkness, Jesus is the light. This is the light switch, people. You got to turn it on. People all across this world are groping for Jesus, and you, my friends, have the ability to bring them the light of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, God cares about the entire world, and so should we. And we have the means to affect, you and I have the means to affect the entire world. If a ragtag group of 12 mostly uneducated men could affect the world, can you even begin to imagine what we can do with all the resources that we have available to us today? You don't need to be smart. How many got a phone on them right now? A smartphone. Well then, look, you have the avenue to find a way to share the gospel right there. And listen, one of the easiest ways for each of us to get involved in affecting the entire world is through our periodic missions offerings that we do throughout the year, which we do great, praise God, amen. And that's actually one of the easier ways to get involved in the world missions, our missions outside of our immediate area. And many of you are sponsoring children from organizations such as Compassion International. But in addition to your money sponsorship, begin to pray for specific people groups. Begin to pray. There are literally thousands of people groups who have never heard the gospel. It's almost hard for us to imagine that, but it's true. So make an investment in your prayer time in these people. Go get a globe or a map and pray for the nations by name. Listen, we have prayer cards floating around here somewhere for missionaries. Pray for them. And look what Psalm 2:8 says, "Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance." Can you imagine when you get to heaven and God shows you the nations that you personally affected by your prayers? Nobody can stop that. Satan can't stop that. Listen, prayer, folks, is our most important, it's our most valuable tool in our mission to the world. People may refuse our love, they may reject our message, but listen, they are defenseless against our prayers. Our prayers are like smart bombs. You can aim them. You can aim a prayer at a person's heart that's 10 feet away or 10,000 miles away. It doesn't matter. And trust me when I tell you this, when people pray, God moves. The last thing Satan wants from his church is his people to be praying. When we pray, God moves. Because listen, prayer makes you a partner with God. and with other prayer warriors around the world. When we get together and pray together for the salvation of the people in this world, watch out. God will move. And let me just say this. Not every one of us has been called to physically go to the ends of the world, but every single one of us can go spiritually through prayer and support to those who are called to go physically. Just like when Cynthia and Amy went to Haiti before COVID hit, and many of you sponsored that. Like the ride we're going to do for our mission trip, and like the CMA, we asked you to sponsor us for the CMA. Why? Because they go globally. So if you are not involved, then my challenge to you is to get involved. Begin to accumulate your inheritance for all of the nations. We need to think outside the box to reach the world with the light of the gospel, to change people's spiritual lives and their eternal lives. That's what's at stake. Look, very quickly, the Great Commission Christian needs to do this. Point number three, shift our thinking from temporal to eternal. Paul explains this best in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary. Where you sit is temporary. Do you know what's not temporary in this place right now? Anybody want to take a guess what's not temporary in this place right now? If you're saved, you're not temporary either. But everything that you see is temporary. You know, if the truth be known, we waste a lot of time and energy on stuff. Stuff that won't matter at all a year from now, let alone for eternity, right? Now understand, having stuff isn't wrong. I'm going to be very clear. Having stuff isn't wrong. But the question is, are you doing anything to fulfill the Great Commission that God has put before you? Here, what is your investment? We make a lot of investments. We have a lot of stuff. But what is your investment in sharing the gospel to others? What is your investment there? Are you applying any of your time and resources toward the things that will make an eternal difference, that will make an eternal impact? Are you speaking to others about the gospel? Can you imagine the impact that we could have if we, listen, the impact that we could have if we spent our time and money on spreading the gospel instead of some of the junk that we do? And listen to me very carefully. I'm not pointing fingers at you. I'm guilty of this too. I can do better in this area. We need to be intentional. That's my message. We need to be intentional. We have to make an on-purpose effort to make an impact as far as we can reach with our time, with our money, with our mouths, with our lips, to spread the gospel. That's what eternal thinking is. That's what eternal thinking is. Giving and speaking to make an eternal difference. So today, my challenge to each of you personally, in each of us corporately, to make a difference in someone's life. How? By giving them the gift of Jesus Christ. Remember this, the Lord has commanded us to go tell. It's not a suggestion. So listen, I'm going to put a challenge to each one of you to lead a person to Jesus Christ this year. Oh, but what's it? What? See? See? I want to challenge you to lead one person to Jesus Christ this year. Listen, it's not too late. You still have 8 months left to share the gospel with someone, or at least invite them to church. But the question is, what's standing in your way? What barriers have you put up? And I say it that way because I'm going to tell you this. I want you to understand what's standing in your way. What barriers have you put up? Understand this. Our barriers are self-made. God did not give us a command with barriers. If he told you to go do it, he's going to supply the way. You know, when Jesus hung on the cross, the veil was torn from top to bottom. Remember that? So there's no longer any barriers except for the ones that you've created in here. All the while, God commands and God wants each of us, the whole church, to take the whole gospel to the whole world. And he will accept nothing less. He won't, from a Great Commission Christian, than to overcome for the gospel. Let me ask, as you begin each day, is it with your own business in mind, or is it with God's business in mind? Is the business of winning souls even a thought of your thought process? Do you even feel that you are responsible to participate in this? Listen to me, if you're not winning souls for Jesus Christ, watch. If you're not winning souls for Jesus Christ, then you are ignoring God's command in your life, and you are missing out on a huge blessing from God in your life. You lead one person to Jesus Christ, it will change your life. You won't forget it. So listen, I'm going to give you all the opportunity to ask God to shift your thinking. That's what we need to do. That's the challenge. Invite people, speak to people, ask God to shift your thinking to Great Commission thinking. Maybe you're here this morning and you're doing exactly what you were called to do. You're actively making disciples. Then praise God, that's awesome. I give you great kudos, right? But we can do more, we can do better. But listen, come and ask God to continue to lead you to someone each day who needs to hear the gospel. Ask him to increase your ministry. Ask God to increase your outreach. Why? Because there's truly no greater gift or purpose in life than sharing Jesus with someone who truly has no hope. You know, a few weeks ago, we were praying with Johnny Fisher almost in the fact that there was no hope. And we've seen what happened when God's people. I'm telling you.
Amen.
Him coming out of Allegheny General was an act of God. Some of you may be here and you feel like you're just groping. You feel like there's total darkness with no clear direction or clear path in your life. You feel like you're living in darkness with no hope, no joy, no purpose. Listen to me. Jesus is a cure for all of that. When Jesus saves you, he saves you with his purpose in mind for you. You need to believe that you are a sinner who has sinned against the holy God, and that sin separates you from God. But that God loved you so much that he sent his son into the world to die on a cross. He who was sinless, he was born with no sin. The Christmas story, he was born of a virgin. There was no sin in him. He was raised and lived without sin, but came to die on the cross for your sin as you. And he died on the cross, and 3 days later he rose again, that if you believe and trust in him for the forgiveness of your sins, you will be
saved.
That's the word of God. Do you need that? You need to shift your thinking. You need the Lord. The altar will be open. You come. My friends, that is the rest of the story. Go and tell the world that Jesus is Lord. He is risen from the dead. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, thank you. Father, I ask at the beginning of this that you would move in a very powerful way. Father, I pray that you will do that. I pray that you will change our hearts and our minds, our thinking. But Lord, there are even some here who need you as their personal Lord and Savior. They're groping for you and they don't realize what they're groping for. But Lord, you have purpose for them. You have meaning for them. You have hope for them. You have life for them in your Son, Jesus Christ. May they come to him in the repentance of their sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.
We all play. Please stand and sing with us this morning.
Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stand, I start to fall, and all those lonely roads that I Jesus. Of the hour.